Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition, special NCAA Regional Tournament edition of Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined by Boston University head coach Jay Pandolfo. Jay recently named the Hockey East Coach of the Year, getting ready to lead the Terriers to the NCAA Regional in Manchester, New Hampshire. And with that, we bring in the Hockey East Coach of the Year, doing something that had not been done, unprecedented, the first-year rookie head coach to win the Hockey East tournament, the 38th tournament, completed at the TD Garden this past weekend with the Terriers working overtime not once but twice to win a championship. And very pleased to have with us the head coach of the Terriers, Jay Pandolfo. Jay, welcome to the show, and congratulations to you, the team, the staff, and one and all for doing the double, the regular season and Hockey East Tournament Championship, seventh time the Terriers have done it. Did it twice back when you were in school, 94 and 95.
Yeah, thanks, Bernie. It's been you know, a heck of a year so far. You know, a lot of credit to our team. You know, having an older group this year, a lot of guys came back, you know, for a reason. They wanted to have some success, and up to this point, it's gone pretty well. You know, winning the regular season title and then being able to also capture the Hockey East Championship, I think was big for these guys, and that was one of their goals. So to credit to them, you know, they've worked all year towards this, and I'm really happy for them. I'm really happy for our coaching staff who've done a really good job. You know, they've certainly helped me out and made my job a lot easier this year. I lean on, you know, Joe Pereira, Kim Branville, Doug Friedman, Brian DeCourt, all those guys a lot. And you know, Joe, you know, being in college hockey for 10 years, is he's helped me a lot. So it's been fun.
Indeed, it's been fun, and hoping the fun continues for the Terriers, one of the two Hockey East representatives in the NCAA tournament. It came up at the post-game press conference last week, and one of the things I wanted to bring up here right at the outset, the concept, Jay, of playing teams that are facing elimination. I mean, everybody's going to face elimination now, single elimination in the NCAA tournament. But three in a row for the Terriers, playing teams that had no tomorrow. You had a bit of a Cinderella story with number 11, Vermont, the team the Terriers had to take out in the quarterfinals. But then this past weekend with Providence and Merrimack being kind of on the bubble, borderline team, something that I think factors in. I mean, the whole intangible about, particularly you look at that Providence team Friday, knowing that they were going to have to pick up the golf clubs on Monday if things didn't go their way.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's important to play those games. You know, for us, knowing that we were going to move on either way, I still thought our guys didn't, you know, they didn't want to have that mindset. I look back to the bean pot, and I think our guys were, you know, pretty disappointed in losing that first round to Northeastern, and knowing we weren't playing for the bean pot championship, I think it really stuck with our guys, and I think our guys look back at that and understand that you have to play desperate hockey no matter what time of year it is, but especially when you're starting to get into this time of year where it's one and done. So we have to make sure that we continue that and have that same mindset going into Thursday.
Indeed the case. Let's take a look back here at the weekend, which was rather tumultuous in how it played out at the TD Garden. First of all, on Friday, 2-1 overtime victory over Providence, a game that you were outshot 34-15 through regulation, turned things around considerably down the stretch and into the overtime, territorial in the overtime with 10-4, made the shots look a little bit different at the end of the game. But I think if there was a key word from your post-game press conference, Jay, I think it was stubborn or stubbornness, because that came up more than once in terms of the play against Providence, very structured 1-2-2. And if not for really the efforts of Drew Comesso coming up big, it could have been a different and much more unpleasant result.
Yeah, you know, I give Providence credit that they played a really good game. But saying that, like our group, for whatever reason that night, you know, through the neutral zone, we were putting pucks behind them, really, and going to work. I think we needed to have more of that mindset. We were turning too many pucks over. And then I think when we did get in the offensive zone, we were passing up shot opportunities, you know, trying to make the extra pass. That certainly wasn't working out well against Providence, who, you know, likes to keep it to the other. yeah. huge. None bigger than the one that shorthanded up breakaway that Providence had. Could have sealed the game, and he made a huge save to keep us alive.
Now, indeed he did all throughout. And you mentioned about as the game went on, you made the adjustments, and as you referred to it, I think really very aptly, played a more direct game. I think is really, I think that term really encapsulates the whole thing, the whole concept of the more direct game to be successful against a team that's playing that style.
Yeah, it's really, you have to play that way against teams that, you know, try to keep you out of the middle of the ice, try to keep you from coming through the neutral zone with speed. You have to have the mindset that when it's time to, you know, put pucks behind a team and go to work, you have to have that mindset. And yeah, I use the word stubborn because at times our guys, that you know, they want to make the extra pass and the extra play. And, you know, we definitely encourage that as a team, that we want to make plays, but at certain times you have to make adjustments. And, you know, I thought we did that. It just took us a little while to kind of figure out that we have to play that way. And I thought it was better on Saturday night against Merrimack, who plays a similar style.
Indeed, improvement there. And Coach Quinn used to say blocking and tackling. A lot of it does come down to blocking and tackling. You did a better job in order to turn that game around, as you talked about, winning those 50-50 puck battles, which is often what the game comes down to.
Yeah, no doubt, especially this time of year. I think every puck battle, you know, the more you can win, the more you have the puck, the better opportunity you're going to have to win the game. And I think that's the mindset that our group has to have. And when we have that mindset, we're a pretty good team. When we get away from it, you know, it gets a lot more difficult for us. So something that we try to, you know, harp on, and I think our players realize it. It's just it's a mindset more than anything else.
Huge emotional swings in that game. From the outset, the fact that Dom Fensori, you said, was going to come right down to warm-ups, it did. I saw him, he had a big smile on his face before the game and said he was going to go, and boy, did he ever go. You got a huge emotional boost, obviously the intangibles, the tangibles all around with Dom. And then, of course, later on in the game was the emotional deflating swing of losing Case McCarthy in the game. You couldn't have a bigger swing from one end to the other with the addition of Dom and then the loss of Case McCarthy.
Yeah, Dom, you know, he didn't practice the whole week, so we it legit was right until
warm-up.
When he gave the nod in warm-ups that he was going to go, so that was a huge lift for our group. I think we all know how much Dom means to this team. You know, his leadership off the ice, his leadership on the ice, the way he plays, he controls the game, both defensively and offensively. You know, he's a very difficult player to replace, so got a huge boost from having him in our lineup. I know our guys were excited about it. And then, you know, obviously the McCarthy injury, scary situation during the game. Really tough to see your teammate go down like that, and you're not sure if he's okay. And, you know, it was definitely, you know, an emotional time for our group. I think once we saw him moving around and up on the stretcher and giving a thumbs up, and I think the guys went over and gave him a tap, I think, you know, that helped our guys know that he's going to be okay. And, you know, we wanted to rally around Case and win the game for him. And I thought our guys did that. And I thought our game, you know, got better after that happened.
And as you've talked about all year, the situation you've got, it goes beyond the guys with the letters on the sweater, Jay. You've got a really strong core leadership group with the big senior class that's been such an integral part of this season. It's unusual to have, it seems, in college hockey, to have as large a senior class as you managed to keep together on this particular journey, 2022-23.
Yeah, it's a special group. I think you know, they're really close knit. They've brought the team really close together. So it's been a key to our success this year is having that type of leadership. And I think they've brought the younger guys along, and they expect the younger guys to be leaders as well. And I think a lot of the younger players have grown this year as leaders. You know, I think if you look at our freshman class, they've been a huge part of our success with their contributions, you know, offensively. But also, you know, they've stepped
I didn't break down the film. You did. Your staff did. I look at that game on Friday. You had two initial rush plays in the game. You cashed in on both of them. You won the game 2-1. That's pretty much how I looked at it in terms of the two jumps that you got, and you buried both of them.
Yeah, we had the first one. Lane Hutson, of course, made a play. Ryan Green drove the net. We found Peterson in the slot, and it was a nice finish by him. And then, the second one, same thing, kind of out of D zone, out of transition. Again, I think Ryan Green kicked it out to Tuck, and, Tuck made a great play driving wide, and Quinn Hutson drove to the net, so it was a heck of a play. Stuff that, we practiced a lot, and, paid off.
Indeed it did. And then moving on to Saturday and the opportunity to win a championship, the 38th Hockey East Championship, and an opportunity for the Terriers to capture their 10th. Merrimack, the opponent, a team that had swept you in February in the throes of that four-game losing streak. You knew that, obviously, Case McCarthy was going to be out of the lineup. You felt pretty good about Fensori because of what he gave you on Friday, what he would be able to do. I guess the question to come back, could he do it all over again on Saturday? But then you woke up to the fact that you were going to be without your first-line center, Wilmer Skoog, and that forced a little bit of a reshuffle for you.
Yeah, that was disappointing to get that news in the morning. We definitely have depth up front, so I think that certainly helps us. We knew Jay O'Brien could shift back to the middle of the ice. He's played there most of the year, so that helps when you have that type of depth up front. But yeah, definitely disappointing to lose Skoog and not have him in that game. Felt bad for him. He certainly wanted to be part of it. But yeah, we shuffled the lines a little bit, and then losing Zabinet
right
start of the second period. Once that happened, that was tough to see as well. He's been playing some of his best hockey. He's been one of our best forwards in the last or even the second half. So that was tough to see him go, but again, like our guys stepped up. We kind of went down to three centers with O'Brien, Green, and Stevens, and kind of just rotating them through the wingers, and it worked out okay.
Indeed it did. And with the thinning of the D-core, with Case McCarthy, one of your key performers, veteran senior, out of the lineup, it gave more of an opportunity for John Copeland, and also for Lachlan Getz. So they limited minutes, but they gave you a respite. They gave the rest of the D-core a little bit of a respite that was much needed.
Yeah, I think John Copeland's played really well the last month. So he's been getting more and more minutes, and he's been steady for us back there. And we put Getz in the lineup with McCarthy out. Thought he played well. He had limited minutes, but he hasn't played in a while.
Yep.
I thought he handled himself very well, so it was good to see him get some minutes, and he'll be in the lineup again here on Thursday. So he looked good in practice yesterday. I know he's excited to be part of it. I know he wants to be part of it, so we're excited to have him in there.
You talked about Merrimack, similar style in terms of what you expected to see from them with Providence, but Providence much more rigid and regimented, structured 1-2-2. But overall, what a difference a night made, Jay, in terms of how you handled Merrimack's look in terms of opening up and having the opportunity to be able to play some hockey as opposed to what happened on Friday. That was a big turnaround.
Yeah, I thought we just had for whatever reason, we had more energy. I thought played a more direct game versus Merrimack. We just had a different sort of mindset. I think we knew that, we did not play our best on Friday. We know Drew bailed us out on Friday night. So we wanted to make sure we had a better overall effort, play a more direct game. We knew how we just played Merrimack not long ago, so we kind of knew what to expect from them. They play really hard. They compete hard. And, we had to match that. And I thought, for the most part, over the course of the night, we did that. Again, it was another tight game, and we found a way.
Also, the fact that big swing, you had that 5-on-3 opportunity. How important was it on the carryover that you had a chance to go in and you could kind of get in the lab a little bit in X and O and set up that one timer? That was, I guess, as you said, that was a shot that Lane Hutson liked. Everybody certainly liked it on the Terrier side there when he buried that off the one timer on the pass from Fensori.
Yeah, there was. No question was a benefit to
Indeed, he did. And later on for the Terriers, you got a huge goal. Devin Kaplan, I think, has been maybe somewhat underrated or overlooked in this freshman class that has been so impactful for you this year. But just the presence of mind for him, Jay, in that position, to just that one extra move, that one extra little toe drag to open up that shot was pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's been huge for us all year. I think from the start of the season till now, maybe has grown the most as a player in our lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a power forward. He can be a force at times. And on that play, you saw he separated off the wall from his check. And once he gets a little bit of separation, it's tough to contain him. And then with a great finish as well. It was a great shot. Their goaltender's big, and he made some big saves that night. And to actually beat him clean there was impressive. I think too for Kaplan, give him a lot of credit on the Merrimack goal off faceoff.
Mm.
That's one that Cap has a chance to block, and I ended up getting through him. And I think he was pretty disappointed about that, and felt he let the team down. So I think for him, like, he really wanted to respond, and he certainly did with a huge goal to keep us in it.
No doubt. And then on to overtime, familiar territory this weekend, familiar territory through the entire Hockey East tournament, testament to just the parity and how competitive this league was this season. It was Mr. Overtime turned out to be young Mr. Lane Hudson. Amazing knack to get pucks to the net. I mean, it's so difficult, Jay. We talk about all the time to get pucks to the net. You know, everybody's a goalie out there. You got to get it through. Sometimes five guys are in shot blocking mode. But this guy, it just seems to have eyes, and there he was again from 55 feet out.
Yeah, he once it went low to high, I think he started walking the blue line. He was just waiting for an opportunity to see a shot that he could get to the net. And, again, like, he just, he thinks the game so well. He found an opening, and I think he was just trying to get it there, knowing the goalie was going to have a hard time finding it. And, I thought we did a good job being in front of the goalie, and I don't think he ever saw the shot. So it was a heck of a shot, and huge way to end the game and win a championship.
Two nights, two overtimes, never led in either game. So the one thing you didn't get a chance to do was play with a lead this weekend, but you certainly had a chance to play with urgency and to be able to play in come-from-behind mode, which is, as you've talked about, very important. And, again, a testament, I guess the word you keep coming back to is resilient about this team.
Yeah, I think it's, for us to be able to come, in games like that, the tight games, to be able to play from behind and, stick to your game is a credit to our guys. And, like I've said, this group's been resilient all year long. There's really not any quit in this group. And I think as you move forward here into the NCAA tournament, it's important that you're able to play from behind. And, I don't think that's a recipe you want to have it.
Right.
But you are getting situations where you're down, and, you got to keep fighting and clawing back. And our group has done a heck of a job with that all year long. So, really happy for them.
Quick turnaround for the Terriers. Manchester, it will be Thursday, 2 o'clock. It'll actually be the first game for the entire NCAA tournament field 2023. Injury update, as you have it here, 48 hours in advance. I know they still got some time before Thursday. And any anticipated lineup changes that you might be tinkering with?
Zabine will, very unlikely to play. Clearly McCarthy's out of the lineup. So the decor will stay the same. Hopefully, if Fensori's all right, he didn't practice yesterday, but I expect him to play. So the decor will stay the same as it was on Saturday. Up front, Skoog will be back, so he can go back in the middle of the ice. With Zabine out, we'll probably keep O'Brien in the middle. We'll tinker with the lines a little bit because of Zabine being out, but that'll be the really only change with Skoog coming back in for Zabine being injured.
And Western Michigan, unfamiliar opponent. I asked you the other day if you had any preference. You said really no preference to play a team that you've seen or a team that you haven't seen. In this case, it's a team that you haven't seen, but I think most people have talked about somewhat of a mirror image of the Terriers because of the fact that they certainly have skill, speed, and creativity and offensive ability of their own.
Yeah, Yeah, they're a really good team. They play with pace. They really good offense. I think they're one of the higher scoring teams in the country this year. They have one really big line that does a lot of scoring for them with Poulin and McAllister. You know, they're really really good offensive line. So definitely gonna have to keep an eye on that line. So yeah, I don't know a lot about the team, but we're starting to watch them a little bit more. With a quick turnaround, and expect it to be a tough matchup.
You hadn't lost two in a row all year. You ended up dropping four in a row. You had kind of a beanpot funk. Now it's a team that comes into the NCAA tournament with momentum, seven in a row in terms of how you've turned this overall operation around here during the stretch run of the season.
Yeah, we went through that stretch there, and I think it was good for our group to deal with a little bit of adversity. We hadn't really dealt with much up to that point through the course of the year. We hadn't lost two in a row, and to lose four in a row, it was tough. But I think it helps your team grow, and as long as you come out the other side, which I think we have. But now, like the NCAA tournament, now this is really a start of a new season. This is one and done, and we have to make sure that we're on top of our game going into Thursday. 2 o'clock in the afternoon start, so it's coming quick.
Indeed it is, with the Terriers in Western Michigan. Once again, first game of the overall NCAA tournament for 2023. It'll be 2 o'clock on Thursday. The Terriers close to home in Manchester, New Hampshire for the NCAA regional. Jay, thanks very much for joining us. We really appreciate it here, and best of luck here to you and the Terriers as get ready to move forward to the NCAA tournament.
Thanks, Bernie. Thanks for having me.
Boston University head coach Jay Pandolfo joining us here on our special NCAA regional edition of Inside BU Hockey.
I'm Owen Gunn, and for this week's player segment, we are joined by junior forward Dylan Peterson. Dylan, great to have you on the show this week. How's it going?
It's going good, man. It's been a good weekend and a good start to the week here, so everything's good.
Well, what a weekend it was for you guys. Two games, it took more than 60 minutes, and want to get into all of that, but let's kind of start with Friday's game, semifinal. It was a tight one all the way through, and it felt like third period was a pretty, emotional roller coaster. After Case went down and Providence got that opening goal, what was kind of set on the bench to help you guys dig deep and turn the tide of the game there?
I think when the biggest moment for me that I remember is when Case did go down. After that, after he did get up and was kind of stretched off the ice, you could kind of feel that everyone was like coming together no matter what, and we were going to win this game kind of for him. There's just this buzz on the bench that like we weren't going to take anything anymore. Like we're going to win this game. It was a really nice feeling. It sucked that it was because Mac had to go down, but it was a really good feeling. And I think that just kind of changed the pace of our game. And then we ended up scoring a few minutes after that. So.
Yeah, and I want to get into that goal. It was pretty late in the game. What was kind of going through your mind on that play, and how exciting was it for you to see it go in?
Yeah, I gave it to Lane out of the D zone and let him do his thing, work his magic, and he ended up making an unreal play and ended up finding me just kind of in the slot, and I just let it go, and it did hit the goalie's glove, and it was kind of a lucky bounce and went in, but yeah, to see it go in was huge for us. I think we just kind of took all the momentum from them, and that kind of got us where we needed to go to win that game.
Yeah, you talk about momentum in overtime. You guys came out pretty hard and, pretty relatively early. You guys strike almost 11 minutes in. Quinn coming through with a pretty clutch goal. Just how big was it to end that game early, considering, the second game goes to overtime? How big was it to finish it off when you guys did?
Yeah, I mean, no complaints ending the end of the game like that, a couple minutes into overtime. You're already tired at that point, so you don't want to play too much longer. And it was good for us to get out of that game. Let Merrimack and Lowell go at it as long as they could. Helped us. So, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, definitely. And then now I want to kind of get into that championship against Merrimack, another back and forth. But before kind of getting into the game, I did hear that Case read the starting lineup. Just what that kind of do for you guys? How'd that affect your mood going into the game?
Yeah, that was amazing to see him be in good spirits and announce that for us. That I think that just kind of gave everyone some juice that we needed to get through that game.
Absolutely. And then, a big part of that game was the fact that you guys were, you know, missing so many people, and then it only got worse during the game, losing Zabs, a guy that is your line mate, and I know you're very close with. Just how tough was that kind of to see, and what did you think of the way the team responded to that?
Yeah, that was tough on all of us. Zabs has been such a huge part of what we've been trying to do here. It was especially tough on me because we've kind of been like a 1-2 punch, and we've built so much chemistry, though. So I remember when he went down, and when he went through the tunnel, I was just kind of waiting to hopefully see him pop his head through and come back out. But yeah, it kind of took some wind out of our sails for sure. But again, similar to the Max situation, we just wanted to do it for the guys that had went down during those two games.
And what was it like playing with a bunch of different centers the rest of the way, you know, rolling with three centers? You kind of had mixing and matching the lines a little bit.
Yeah, it was pretty strange. But at the same time, we've altered the lines so much throughout the year that we were kind of used to it. So I don't think we struggled at all, really. And honestly, if anyone struggled, it was definitely the three centers because, you know, they're going out there so often. They're probably pretty gassed, but they did a great job. And yeah, it was good.
And yeah, so a tight one, tied it two, going into overtime. What was kind of the message in the room before you guys went out there?
It's just, we're going to be relentless no matter what. And I think we felt like there was no way we were losing this game. We'd come all this way and we'd done everything we needed to do to up until that point. And we knew we were winning that. And that was pretty much it.
And then the overtime winner, sure, was pretty electric. What was kind of the first thing you did, first thing that went through your mind once you saw the puck go in?
One of those blackout moments. But I think I just chased Lehner down. I think I took like 4 or 5 hard strides, chasing down through my helmet and just got in the pile as quick as I could. It was pretty electric, like you said. It was probably one of the best moments of my life.
And then what do you think of his dab? Did any of you guys know that he was going to do that? Or
no, I had no clue. That's such a Lane Hutson celebration, I guess. I don't know if anyone else would be doing that except for him, or could do that except for him. We were just talking about today, actually. I don't even know what I would have done or any of the other guys would have done if it had been us that scored that goal. But yeah, to see him do that, I didn't even see it till after, actually. So it was just kind of funny. We all had a nice chuckle out of that.
Well, I know, you know, some of you guys have some Sellies. He's got that. And then Galley's got kind of like the monkey on his back, off his back thing that he did. Like, who do you think has the best celebration on the team overall if you had to pick someone?
That's a good question. Jay O'Brien usually has some pretty good ones. But I think a funny one, it's not really funny, but it's funny to me anyway. It's Zabs when he had his hat trick. It's just kind of the same celebration, not pretty much no celebration, just so excited to pop three of them. So that those are pretty funny. But other than that, yeah, probably O'Brien. He's got some good ones.
Yeah, we certainly love to see that. O'Brien, a guy that plays with an edge. But now you guys got, you know, NCAA tournament coming up. Handful of you guys, including yourself, you know, have played in the tournament once before in Albany. What kind of did you learn from that experience? And then ultimately, what do you think is the biggest key in these one and done situations like the NCAA tournament here?
Yeah, I think the biggest key is just preparing the right way. I mean, we have a pretty quick turnaround here, so these next 2-3 days are going to be really crucial for us. And I think if we prepare the right way and prepare the way we have been for the past weekends, we don't worry about who we're playing. We just worry about ourselves, prepare the right way. And I think we're going to be okay. But yeah, I think the biggest takeaway from my freshman year, when we went to the tournament, was just that everyone now is playing their best hockey. So you got to be ready for everything. And you got to be willing to just play our best hockey, play the way we know we can play. Cause we remember my freshman year, we got away from it pretty quick and that game got away from us and that was our season. So I don't think we plan on doing anything like that this year.
Absolutely. And then Dylan, last question for me here, you know, this whole weekend was pretty special for everyone who, you know, bleeds scarlet and white, the garden, you know, fully packed with BU fans. How kind of special was it for you guys to just share the whole experience with the BU community?
Yeah, it's always really special. I mean, the bean pot's one thing and winning that was pretty cool, but to win this and win the Hockey East title and just, you know, look in the stands after and see, you know, the dog pound and everyone wearing the red and white is pretty special. It's always fun to share these big moments with people that have really been a huge factor in us succeeding. So yeah, it was really special.
Absolutely. And I'm sure more fans will be making the trip up to Manchester this Thursday. But Dylan, best of luck there to you and the team. And thanks so much for joining the podcast here.
My man, I appreciate it. Thank you.
And that's going to do it for our player segment here on Inside BU Hockey.